Welcome in, friends. This is Voice in the Kingdom on the Box 2 Radio Network. We get the opportunity to touch 20 Central Kentucky counties over the air and everywhere at box2radio.com. That's the number 2 in box2radio.com. We also have the ability for you to download the Box 2 Radio app to your streaming device, and you can listen from anywhere that you have data. This morning, we are grateful that you have tuned in with us here on a Monday and a very furious weekend of news. We just got done with the news. Of course, here on this part of the program is when our folks that listen in the evening, this is when you're joining us. Thank you for listening in the evening. Good evening to you. But those listening live, you just heard all the news and everything else that's going on in the world. Well, we have the opportunity to get a great perspective this morning from a friend of ours, George Whitten. He is the founder of Worthy News. And, you know, George, as we were talking about how we were going to do this morning, it all worked out. And you know, my regular co-host, of course, Brother Whitney, was traveling this morning. And so this opportunity came up after we were talking. And, of course, it was a busy news cycle before the weekend. You and I both try to take the weekend off from the news. But sometimes that's a little different for us. But I know you have a story to share that kind of reminds you of what happened this last weekend with everything happening with Afghanistan and another time that you just had to check the news over the weekend.
You know, I really take my Shabbat seriously. You know, after doing the news for the whole week, my head is so filled with all this stuff. And, you know, I literally, you know, try not to look at emails, try not to look at my computers, don't look at anything from, like, Friday to Sunday night. I turn off everything. And one year I was in bed. I was in Jerusalem at the time, staying at my father-in-law's house. And I woke up and I said, "Hun, I need to check the news." And my wife says, "It's Shabbat. Why are you going to listen to the news?" I said, "Hun, you don't understand. I saw in my dream these shadowy figures, dark figures with red eyes, and they were laughing as they were firing rockets." And so I checked the news, and my wife said, "Did anything happen?" I said, "You know what, hun? Nothing happened. It must have just been a dream." Not even 2 hours later, my wife says, "We're at war."
Yeah.
and so that's what reminded me of yesterday when I didn't have a speaking engagement, and I thought to myself, "Oh no." And this is actually the first time the second time in the past year I didn't speak on a Sunday. We had 3 meetings on Friday and Saturday. Mm-hmm. So it was a busy weekend nevertheless, but I thought to myself, "Oh my goodness, I hope this is not a something." But yeah. Right now, we really do need to pray for the believers in Afghanistan.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's the second fastest growing church in the world. And the explosion of the gospel had taken place. And right now, you know, the Taliban is completely on a march. It's a failure of the administration. Most people aren't really following this situation very closely. Mm-hmm. But back in the day, Trump actually bombed Afghanistan to the or the Taliban to the negotiating table.
Yeah,
and he said, "Look, this is a red line." When Trump makes a red line, it was a red line that wasn't going to be broken.
Right.
Once he bombed them to submission, there wasn't a U.S. soldier had died after that. That's the amazing thing. Then what happened was that we ordered, or the United States, Joe Biden, ordered the evacuation of the Air Force base in Afghanistan on July 5th. Mm-hmm. And didn't even mention it to the Afghan military. It was, if you remember, it was all of a sudden, you know, evacuated.
Yeah.
Well, now there is no air cover. And so from that point was the complete collapse.
Yeah.
Of the deteriorating situation in Afghanistan. My concern right now is that there are unconfirmed reports, and I can't confirm anything. And whenever I post anything on Worthy News, I have to make sure it's fact.
Right.
But right now on Twitter, what's actively talking about on Twitter between different people that kind of watch, you know, like where aircraft are flying and things like that, is there several B-17, you know, super bombers, you know, shadow forces actually flying to Afghanistan to bomb our military equipment that the Taliban has confiscated.
Right. And see, they had spent time dismantling a bunch of stuff as they were leaving and turning some of it over to the Afghan forces. But as the Taliban started to make their advance, when the Biden administration, just a few days after the event you were just talking about, it was a press conference, July 8th, that they said, you know, they're not going to do anything till the fall. They're not going to take this is not going to be a Saigon moment. And then Sunday, we see the chilling photo of the helicopter grabbing people from the embassy that looked exactly like what happened in Saigon, exactly like he said wouldn't happen. And then they're trying to blame this on the Trump administration. I made the point a little bit earlier, George, that them trying to blame Trump for what's happening in Afghanistan is about the same as them trying to blame him for what's happening at the border. You were too tough, so now we have to deal with it. That's basically their argument.
What I find interesting is how many things that they, you know, turn their back on. The recurring line is now, you know, we were forced into this. Well, were you forced into cutting the Keystone deal? Mm. You know, I mean, our gas prices are sky high. Why? Because we stopped the leases on gas and oil exploration.
Yeah.
It was a situation where we were actually, exporting more than we became a lead exporter of gas and natural oil, oil and natural gas. But right now, I see the whole situation in the Middle East getting a whole lot more interesting. Now the situation that's happened in Afghanistan, you have to start really paying attention to what's happening in Iran.
Yeah.
Because the situation for the Israelis is going to be looking at, if the United States couldn't hold on to Afghanistan and couldn't maintain peace in Afghanistan, do they really have our back in Iran?
Right. I was thinking about that. Yeah.
So for them, what they have to be considering is, if the United States isn't going to have our back in Iran, why are we trying to coddle, you know, United States interests?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because their interests aren't necessarily our interests.
Yeah.
So, Benny Gantz said something very specific about 2 weeks ago. He said the Iranians were 10 weeks away from hitting a red line, a threshold. So we're getting closer to the end of a possible confrontation with Iran.
Now, the threshold that you're talking about, though, is more enrichment of uranium, correct?
Yeah, it's enriching uranium.
Yeah,
correct?
Yeah.
And so for them, whenever I see a timeline, I remind myself of how history tends to repeat itself.
Mm-hmm.
In 1981, the United States, didn't really have the back of the Israelis. Menachem Begin went and actually bombed the Iraq nuclear reactor and didn't tell Ronald Reagan. And didn't tell the United States. We know this later from the Reagan diaries. And as you read through the Reagan diaries, Reagan was caught unawares. He didn't know the situation. He had just came into office. Well, that was 1981. Well, we're 40 years from that. And, the Israelis, I believe, took the approach, ask for forgiveness later. So I'm seeing a situation where the same approach could be used. Obviously it's very tense right now in Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
Israel would be fighting a multi-pronged war.
If they can't fully account for what the Americans are going to do, they really can't have that many fronts going on at the same time.
Well, Israel actually has been preparing for a multi-front war. Mm-hmm. The good thing for them, if they were fighting a war, is that they really dealt with the Hamas problem in Gaza probably for another 2 years or so, another year and a half.
Yeah.
It was an amazing, if you actually were going back in that particular war, if you remember the headlines, even we reported the headlines, and I had to actually retract the headlines. One of the few times I actually had to retract this story, the Israelis said, "We're going into Gaza. We're going into Gaza."
Yeah, because they made them go to the tunnels, yeah.
Yeah, they made them go into the tunnels, and then they bombed the infrastructure. It was the largest bombing since the 2006 war. Mm-hmm. It was such an aerial assault, but it buried many of the terrorists inside of the tunnels.
Yeah.
So a lot of warfare is deception.
Yeah.
But if you're Israel and you're looking at the situation, do you want to fight a two-pronged war with nations that have their governments in order, or would you rather bomb a situation where it's completely in disorder?
Right.
That's what we're seeing right now. We're seeing basically a civil war happening in Lebanon between the Christian and the Maronites against the Muslims, or against Hezbollah. And then in Iran, you had people chanting, walking the streets just a few weeks ago, death to the dictator is mm-hmm. what they were chanting. Instead of death to America, death to the dictator, because of the water shortages and because of the electrical shortages.
Right.
So there's another way of looking at this from their perspective. They may be thinking to themselves, maybe we don't have to go to war. Maybe they'll have a revolution within their country.
Hmm.
But prophetically speaking, we see that God has a plan to restore Iran.
Yeah.
We see that God, there's a major revival happening in Iran. There was 100,000 believers in 1994, and now there's estimated, several million believers. Mm-hmm. I've seen estimates as high as 3 million believers in Iran.
Yeah.
So that is the fastest growing church in the world right now. And right next to it is Afghanistan, where the church mm-hmm. was exploding.
Yeah.
So
so you got the enemy really digging their claws in right now because of that. We got to take one break right here, and then we're going to come back in this next segment. And I'd like for you to lay out for us when we come back how the Jewish calendar lays out with some of this stuff going on, with it being the month of Elul, and how that impacts everything that we're seeing. So we're going to step aside for just a minute and stay on the line with us. We're going to give some honor to our sponsors and underwriters and programmers of the Box 2 Radio Network, and we'll be right back with more with George Whitten here on Voice in the Kingdom. All right, back at it here on this Monday morning. One of our co-hosts this morning is George Whitten from he's actually traveling in the United States still. He's in Pittsburgh, and he's on the phone with us taking time out this morning. We're very appreciative of the founder of Worthy News being on with us. And you've heard us talking about all the craziness going on. Of course, Afghanistan is highlighted right now, but there's more than that going on in the world. And George, when we were talking on the phone the other day, you were talking about the prophetic inference from the month of Elul and the Jewish calendar and how that all plays in. So I want you to kind of lay some of that out for us this morning, give us some context and help us understand that a little bit.
Sure. So the month of Elul is the 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah would be better known in the Bible as the Feast of Trumpets or Yom Teruah. It's the day of the Shofar Blast. And the wake-up call, that's the final wake-up call, and then you have what's called the 10 Days of Awe, and that's the period between Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur is kind of a dual fulfillment day. For those that are atoned, it's the Day of Atonement. For those that do not have the right covering, it's the Day of Judgment. Kippur literally means covering, so it's a day of covering.
Mm.
And for those of us that are in the blood of the Lamb, we're covered by the blood, and so we're covered. That's our covering. Whereas in Revelation, it talks about rocks and mountains covered them, but they couldn't cover them from the wrath of the Lamb. Mm. They didn't have a covering. So those are the prophetic. So the month of Elul is the day that you go outside, you blow your shofar once a day, boom, and you blast it as a wake up call. Hey. We're coming to, it is the season of repentance.
Yeah.
Now, on the biblical calendar, the Jewish people read through the Torah, which is the first five books in the Haftorah, in a cyclical pattern. So the beginning of Genesis 1 happens on the eighth day of Sukkot, eighth day of Feast of Tabernacles. The month of Elul, as you read through the text, our passages connected to the restoration of Israel and the restoration of the Jewish people coming back to the land. So from the prophetic viewpoint, we're actually in the last month. the Jewish people have started returning back to land. They haven't yet come back to their Messiah. We're expecting that to happen, you know, in the near future. But until that, we're anticipating now the fullness of the nations come in. So this is a wake-up call to the nations. It's an alarm. Hey, it's time to repent. It's time to turn. Interestingly, what I found is that we have back-to-back tropical storms happening in the Caribbean right now.
Yeah.
And the first one is Fred. The second one is Grace. Mm. I just thought that was such a – I don't know what prophetic picture that paints for us. You know, what is Grace going to do? It'll be interesting to see what happens as the news kind of unfolds. But, you know, we have a prophetic calling. If we understand what Daniel did. Daniel, here he was. He opened up the book, and he says, oh, Jeremiah says we're coming to him after 7 years. And his immediate reaction as the prophet was to pray and to fast and weeping in sackcloth. And he's repenting of the sins of the nation. And, this is a prophet you couldn't find. He did anything wrong in his life. Yet he took this role as a priest to intercede. You know, we're kings and priests of the Most High God.
That's right.
We have a prophetic calling. As we see these things take place, it should be a wake-up call for us to start praying, to start interceding. You know, I really love the new social media platform called Telegram. Mm. We just started a Telegram channel just a few months ago. And what I really love about it is every time we post up a news article, it automatically goes onto a Telegram channel, right? Well, what I'm trying to do is activate prayer warriors. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea of Worthy wasn't to become, you know, some, you know, perfect news organization. It was actually to activate the Gideon army. It was activate those that had a heart for intercession, those that understood what was happening prophetically, and to seize the calling. Mm-hmm. So that when we go ahead and report, you know, the Taliban is getting ready to take Kabul, all of a sudden, that goes out on the Telegram channel. I'm praying that people get it and say, they're not saying, oh my goodness, you know what, you know, that's such a sad thing. I'm praying that people are going to get activated and say, Father, I ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Yeshua, that you would go forth and you would wage war against those that wage war against your innocent ones. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if we can activate an army of prayer warriors. I mean, that was always our hope. The ministry was founded on the verse, you know, watch ye therefore. You know, we're called to be watchmen. We're called to pay attention to these things and pray always. We got to know what we're praying for. And right now, the church in Afghanistan is, I was just watching a very heart-throbbing interview, and this saint that has been working with the underground church talked about how the Taliban are going and they're grabbing phones and they're looking at the phone numbers, and if it's a Western number, they're executing them on site.
Mm.
So, you know, you have to think to yourself, what is going on? You know, how is God going to protect? And, you know, a few years ago we had this story of how I'm trying to think of the name of it, Boko Haram. Had Boko Haram in Nigeria had taken these believers, these 72 believers of a Muslim background, and when they had captured them, all of a sudden the people were sitting there praying and they were interceding, and then all of a sudden the Lord appeared, and then before a single shot was fired, before they were getting ready to execute them, all of a sudden, they started running and fleeing.
Hmm.
And what had happened was they had gotten a vision, and the vision was of snakes and things, and they were attacking them. They had fled the scene. They were overwhelmed with what was happening, and then they were able to walk away. I really believe that God is going to be interceding in ways that we haven't even begun to imagine right now for the believers in Afghanistan. And we just need to be the ones that are actively putting prayer to that. We're the ones actively praying into those situations and being active and understand our calling. You know, we don't shy back.
Right.
You know, we're kings and priests of the Most High God. We don't shy back from the battlefield. We don't go ahead and cower in a corner. We go ahead and we see the battlefield before us. And the battlefield isn't flesh and blood. We're not fighting.
That's
we're
it.
Fighting against principalities and powers. And so right now, there is a principality that is taking hold of Afghanistan. And we have to start praying and interceding like we never have.
Yeah.
And we have a job. You know, very often I think what tends to happen when we look at the news is we get overwhelmed. You know, we're looking at the news and we're saying, you know, what can I do?
Yeah.
And what it should be is, this is, I know exactly how to throw my rocks today. You know, David went against Goliath. He took it with him 6 stones, 1 for Goliath and 5 for the 5 other brothers.
That's right.
He didn't have all those weapons of warfare. He had 6 stones ready to take out, you know. That's what we try to do. We try to get that information so that, hey, this is what we need to pray for right now. This is the target.
That's right.
This is our target. We're activating the Gideon army. We're activating people into the kingdom. We're saying, hey, you need to pray over this right now.
Amen.
Boom.
Amen.
And so that's our hope. And
that's
right
awesome.
Now, I really do believe it's going to be our finest hour.
It is. And I think that's where a lot of us get to be excited during times like these. We have a couple more minutes to the top of the hour, and I think Miss Gretchen has a question for you.
Good morning, Brother George.
Hey, Miss Gretchen. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and I want to just thank you. You know, I didn't even think about the Christians that are there in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how I could pray. So thank you for alerting us to that and so that we can be praying for those that are... I guess I was just thinking of, you know, just all the political and the, you know, the military part of it and everything. And then you realize that there's Christians there that we need to be lifting up. So thank you for that.
It's actually the second fastest growing church in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And it is exploding. The gospel is exploding. We post up a video yesterday, you know, for those that think this is going to be a peaceful transfer. One of the videos we post up was actually them already hanging people I don't know what God has in store. I know that all things work together for good. I know that this is, you know, in some way a plan that God's going to work out. What I don't know. But I do know that this is the battlefield in front of us right now.
Yeah, that's right.
And so we can actively pray. We can actively, you know, intercede. We can actively say, hey, Lord, we want to see your will be done. We want to see the glory come to happen. We want to see these Taliban come to faith, Father. We want to see such a move of God that they get visions of Jesus. They get visions of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and they fall down to their knees.
Amen. That's it.
I believe that it's the most hardened ones when they come to faith. They're the ones that do the incredible work. You know, it's like a pendulum swift.
Yeah.
If you're on one side and you get radically saved, you're on the other side. There's nothing like seeing a radical Muslim become a radical believer.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's what we're praying for. And, you know, having those rocks in the bag and knowing how many you have and what they can do, like you were just talking about. I love that you pointed that out. Hey, we're going to go to the top of the hour here, George. We're going to let you off the line, but we're going to bring you back for 2 more segments after our interview with Dr. McMurtry. So be close. Welcome back in, friends. This is Voice in the Kingdom on the Box 2 Radio Network. We get to be in 20 central Kentucky counties over the air, and we're everywhere at box2radio.com. That's the number 2 in box2radio.com. You can also download the Box 2 Radio app to your streaming device, and you can listen from anywhere you have data. We are grateful to have the opportunity on Voice in the Kingdom to be here Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m. Our special co-host this morning via phone is George Whitten, the founder of Worthy News, and we had a great couple of segments earlier with George, and then we just had Dr. Grady McMurtry on, the Creation Worldview Ministries founder, and we had started to kind of get into some of the conversation that we've had with George this morning, but we wanted to come back with something that we had someone ask while we had George on earlier about Romans 11:26. And are we getting closer to fulfilling this? And how, George, how you would interpret this verse. And so I'm going to read it for us from the King James. And this is Romans 11, verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Sion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And so that's the context. And in everything else we've been talking about this morning, George, what's your perspective there?
All right, so you have your Bible there?
Yes.
Can you open up with me to Zechariah?
Oh, I definitely can. Zechariah.
12.
All right.
Verse 10.
12 and verse 10. And in the King James it says, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn."
So the passage was in Romans, mm-hmm. and so all of Israel shall be saved.
Yes.
Now, if you are in, you know, it's obviously talking to Jewish people, and in Zechariah 12, it says, "I'll pour upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem." That sounds like Jewish people, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
So yeah, it sounds like it, right? So I, right, will pour the spirit of grace and supplication. So here we go. We got another thing. "And they shall look upon me whom they pierced." Obviously, that's a picture of the Lord dying for the sins of the world. Now, if you had a vision of Jesus, and you had a vision, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit was poured out on you, and you were looking at this in the heavens, how could you not believe?
Mm.
So that's how national redemption takes place. But, you know, we have to understand that's a closer, a little further out. Why? Well, we're at a place now where we know that the gospel says, and that this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all nations, and then the end will come.
Hmm.
That word nations, ethnos, every ethnic group, we know in Revelation it says it shall be from every nation, tribe, and tongue. To the organizations that we support, there's two different Wycliffes, Wycliffes and then Wycliffe Associates. They had a split some years back, but they are actively translating the Bible in every language.
Yeah.
And so we are rapidly coming to the end of that. We are probably within the next 3 or 4 or 5 years being completed, the Bible, in every language.
Wow.
So to answer your original question, when does all of Israel get saved? I believe it's this vision. And when they have a vision of Jesus, you know, how could you not believe? That's my... And this is really a great point when sharing the gospel with Jewish people, because this is one of those verses that they don't want to look at. It's like Isaiah 53. We don't want to look at these passages that talk about, you know, the suffering Messiah, talking about the one that was pierced, talking about the one that died on the cross for our sins, and seeing this stark reality that the Word of God is true, that, you know, our time, you know, right now we're the year 2021. Why are we in 2021? Because it's based on the year of our Lord.
yeah.
So we're probably a lot closer than people would expect. At the same time, you know, I try to keep people focused, you know, instead of focused on an escape reality. You know, there's a lot of, you know, in a lot of end times theology is based on escapism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not called to escape this world. We're called to redeem this world.
That's a good word.
You know,
So,
praise God there is a blessed day. Praise God there is a blessed hope. But that doesn't change our job.
Right.
You know, our job is to share this good news. And look, if we really want to get out of here, then, you know, let's get everyone activated in sharing the good news. Because, you know, it says, you know, this gospel, the kingdom must be preached, you know, and then the end shall come.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I kind of tease around when I speak often, talking about how we're in the first pangs of the kingdom. And it's like a pregnant woman, right? I've never met a pregnant woman that said, "I really love the birthing pangs so much that I wish I could do this for a week." You know, I mean, every woman I've ever heard give birth, like, I, you know, get this baby out of me.
Yeah.
And if we really want to, you know, leave this world and go to the eternal kingdom, then we have to be about our business. And our business is sharing this good news of hope. You know, it's not a message of fear. It's a message of hope. It's now the great thing about what's happening in the world today. And I know a lot of people look at this the wrong way, but we look at all the things in the world and we see so much fear and so much anxiety and so much, you know, that people are, you know, talks about, you know, that they'd be shaking.
Yeah.
We now have the only message of hope.
I mean, that's true. Yeah, we've been talking through this whole thing as we talk to people from around the world on this broadcast. And even, you know, you and I have talked about this, too, is like, what a time to be alive. I know it feels crazy and there's a lot of chaos, but my goodness, we're seeing the fulfillment of a lot of things and we're getting so much closer. You know, earlier we were talking about how, you know, Jesus, you know, at that time, everybody thought he was coming to overthrow the Romans. But that wasn't what he was doing. And even now we're like, okay, you know, Jesus is going to fix America, which, yes, Jesus is the answer, but that's not the kingdom. The kingdom is us being, you know, the redemptive quality of what you were talking about just a moment ago.
Well, when I worked at the Christian Coalition, and part of the reason why I left the Christian Coalition is that I realized something. Politics is a Band-Aid of an internal problem.
Yeah, that's true.
Politics, where you stand on abortion, it's really an internal problem that we have in America. And if we're really going to see America come back, it has to be from the inside out. And I believe that we have to really usher in a revival, a move of God that actually transforms the person from the inside out. Then we'll see America restored.
That's right.
But if we're focused on let's make America great again, if we're constantly looking back, Jesus gave us a very stern warning. He said, he that looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God.
Mm.
You know, we gotta keep our focus on the kingdom. And but at the same time, if we focus on the kingdom, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then what happens? Then all this other stuff gets added to us.
That's it.
You know, and somehow or another, we got our priorities a little skewed. I believe that God is right now getting ready to shake, is getting ready to move in a way that we've never seen before. I often look at archaeological discoveries and things that are found that kind of tell us where we are prophetically. Because as you study how God kind of unveils himself, there are times, for example, the Dead Sea Scrolls were found in 1947. The day the Dead Sea Scrolls were bought was the same day of the UN vote calling for the nation of Israel to be established. The same day.
Yeah.
You know, and as you go through archaeological discoveries, I know that we don't have the time saving to go through this, but there's been, you know, dozens of these things I can actually explain. But the thing that just happened was there was a piece of archaeological discovery that we discovered that there was actually an earthquake in the days of Amos. And in the days of Amos, this earthquake, and what they quoted, I'm going to have to pull out my Bible here. I'm in Amos 8, if you're following with me.
All right.
It's that tiny little book. well, it's Amos 8:8. Will not the land tremble over this?
Mm-hmm.
Will not all who dwell in it mourn? Yes, it will rise up like all the Nile, and it will surge and sink again, like the Nile of Egypt. But then, if you go through and you just go down just two more verses, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst of water, but the hearing of the words of the Lord.
Mm.
And they shall wander to from sea to sea, from the north and even to the east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, and they shall not find it. So, here we are. We're at a place where deception is running rampant. And the reason why deception runs rampant, God is not a God of confusion, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's not the author of confusion. And if we have confusion in gender identities, we have confusion about what life is.
Yeah.
If we have confusion about, you know, how we got here, God didn't author that confusion.
That's right. Yeah.
And so every bit of confusion is because it's strayed away from this word that doesn't change. And as I talk to people and people that don't that don't live by this word, they're the ones that are often most confused.
Yeah.
Because the word hasn't grounded them. We're at that day and age where if we're winning a popularity contest, chances are we're not really in the word as much as we think we are.
You know, I was literally just thinking about that the other day, and I have much love for all the people trying to do what they feel is the work of God in launching a church and all that. I'm not trying to pick on anybody in particular, but I was thinking about the numbers the other day, and you think about some of these churches, and they have these huge numbers, and you're like, man, outside of the Sermon on the Mount and outside a few of those, there weren't big crowds, even for Jesus Christ. There were small groups of people that came together because they, most of the time, they didn't like what he had to say because it shook their whole core. And now we've got these folks that are calling themselves a preacher or pastor or whatever and tickling the ears and playing the politics and all of the other stuff. And it's like, man, where did we miss the part that it's going to be a narrow road?
Right. Well, I want to give you just a little insight. Who is actually building the church? Yeshua is.
Yeah.
He actually told us to build the kingdom, to seek the kingdom and seek his righteousness. If we actually are focused, and if pastors were completely focused on just building the kingdom, then it's Jesus that actually built the church.
Yeah.
You know, so I tend to really want to hyper focus on the picture of the kingdom and how we can go ahead and equip people and how we can go ahead and explain to people their prophetic calling in their lives and to rise up in this day, this hour. And I believe that God is putting together his temple.
Yeah.
And praise God, his temple isn't made of bricks.
Right.
You know, we're not supposed to be, you know, cookie cutters.
Yeah.
That God is doing a unique thing. And this is why there's no racism in the kingdom. Because, you know, you have rocks. You have a black rock. You have a white rock. You have a opal rock. You got all kinds of rocks.
Yeah.
And he's fitting this together into a temple. And he's using all these jagged rocks and these smooth rocks, these big rocks, these tiny rocks. And he's putting together this magnificent temple.
Mm.
Yeah. And we are just called to worship.
Yeah.
I think that very often, and I know this happens, you know, obviously I do the news, so I get a lot of emails, a lot of feedback of, you know, how bad the news is and things like that. For me, it's more about giving me a renewed sense of urgency.
Mm.
When I do the news and I go through, like, the headlines, I probably read 3,000 headlines a day. And I see a headline that grabs me, and that's a headline I'm praying over. That's generally a headline that's going in Worthy News.
Yeah.
And I'm going through, and I'm looking, and I'm like, Lord, you need to touch this situation. That's how I read the news.
Mm.
I read the news as, you know, to activate who I am. You know, that's what it should do, is activate us into prayer, activate us into, you know, a deeper calling, a deeper sense of who we are. And, you know, if the news negatively influences you, you probably should turn it off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, Paul said, you know, think on these things which are good and pure and all the, you know, he basically said, look, you got to conform your mind to his mind. But at the same time, when your mind is in that mindset, when your focal point is on the kingdom.
Yeah.
Now he's ushering you, hey, you need to share this good news. Because you see the headlines, you see the people shaking, you see the people living in fear. But God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind.
That's right.
And now we can touch people, and we can give them the true hope and the true love. You know, we're going to come to this place where I believe the body is going to fall more and more in love with each other, because the Lord is going to put us in that position.
Yeah,
in Israel. Obviously, I lived in a little city called Arad. We had so much persecution for a lot of years, to the point, you know, people are outside spitting and really getting in your face. And they're sitting here with, there's also usually multiple people, some with cameras, trying to get you, and they want to edit the camera so they can go ahead and turn it into the police so you can get under house arrest. We've had several members of the congregation go under house arrest. And they're trying to provoke you. But in this provoking, right, I couldn't stop the thinking, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. I couldn't help but laugh. And I couldn't, you know, and I wasn't trying to antagonize the situation, but I actually tried to fall in love with them. I said, Lord, you know, help me just to love the unlovable. I believe that's what the Lord is doing right now for all of us.
Yeah.
He's going to put us in a position where we're going to feel the intensity turn up, the heat of persecution turn up. It should drive us to love. Right. You know, I believe, you know, with pressure comes, you know, the refinement process.
Right.
A lot of people don't like getting out of their comfort zones.
Yeah.
God doesn't work in comfort zones. God goes ahead and he's slowly turning up the heat. You know, when they go ahead and refine gold, they don't turn it all the way up and make it bubble and burst. They turn it up slowly, slowly, and they're constantly taking off the dross, constantly taking off the impurities, slowly, slowly. That's what this world is, you know, this is a test that we're in. We're in the refinement test.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to be refined? Are we going to be refined more and more and becoming more and more like his son? We're going to fall in love with those that persecute us. Will we fall in love with those that truly hate us?
Yeah.
And we're seeing the hatred really rise up. Where there's you know, it's with every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Yeah.
If our action is not rising up in love, we got to check ourselves.
Yeah.
But if we realize, God, they are so lost. God, you're going to have to do a move. You're going to have to do something I can't imagine how you're going to save these Antifa guys. In my mind, Father, I can't imagine how you're going to save these guys. But God, you love them.
Yeah.
And I know you'll love them. And Father, would you pour out your spirit upon them? Would you pour it out in such a way, such a magnificent way that they see dreams and visions of who you are?
Amen.
And they'd be so radically changed that they're the next revivalist, that they're next evangelist, that they're the next people, you know, the next pastors, the next rising up of a generation.
Yeah.
That's what I'm praying for.
Amen.
And I'm really praying that people really grab hold of who they, you know, who they truly are. I mean, we're kings and priests.
That's it. That's it. The Antifa guys attacked the wrong worship experience out there in Oregon. They attacked the Let Us Worship, and then one of them ended up getting saved at Sean Voigt's event. So.
Yeah, I saw that. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
I will say this, that the Lord, I think, is at a place now where, you know, this next shaking, whatever this next shaking is, and I believe it's going to be another major intense shaking.
Mm-hmm.
Is a wake-up call to the body.
Oh, yeah.
I have been speaking, obviously I've been speaking around COVID and around all these different things, and the one thing that kind of keeps, you know, drawing to my mind is I don't look at things as judgment. I look at things as discipline. You know, if our Heavenly Father loves us, then he's going to discipline us. If we weren't disciplined, we're not truly loved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what it says. And
right.
I believe that, you know, that God is trying to slowly, you know, bring us to a place where we can actually listen.
Yeah.
So I look at the COVID experiences and I think about these things. And when I was little, you know, I was sent to my room. You know, when I did something wrong, I didn't get spanked. I actually got sent to my room, and my parents would give me a book. They'd be like, read my book. Read a book.
Yeah.
And it was like the Lord said to the world, look, I'm putting you in timeout. You need to read my book.
Yeah, read this thing right here. Yeah.
Read this thing. And in the Torah, it talks about how if a child doesn't receive discipline, or if the children of Israel, that the judgment will be seven times more.
Mm.
That it would actually intensify, that it would become a greater until you actually learn the lesson. And I was lying in my bed, and I was reading, you know, I was just passing the faith chapter, and I was, you know, praying about, you know, trying to hear. Lord, I need you to speak to me. And it was so crazy. I'm reading Hebrews 12, and the passage that I opened to was, I'm reading Hebrews 12, 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. Okay, whoops. Then it says, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice shook the earth, but now has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven.
Yeah.
Now this, yet once more, indicates a removal of those things which are being shaken, as of those things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we serve God acceptably with fear and God, with reverence and godly fear, for our God is consuming fire.
That's good.
What that's telling me is that we're getting ready. This world is shaking, and not only earth, but heaven, so that the only thing that truly remains is that of the kingdom.
Amen. Amen.
If we are focused on the kingdom, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and we're really running after it. I mean, I'm talking about getting our prayer closets and really chasing after the heart of God and really chasing after, then we're not going to get overwhelmed with fear.
Yeah, that's good.
We're not going to get overwhelmed with all the, what we're going to do is we're going to be activated into our calling.
Mm-hmm.
And what is our calling? And our calling is bigger than we can imagine or think.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the amazing thing. Like, wait, we haven't even entered into, you know, as the darkness gets darker, we're called to be brighter and brighter.
That's right, brighter. Yeah.
And how are we brighter?
Yeah, I know.
By love.
We got to be in the Word, and we got to love. And you know, Dr. McMurtry in the other segment while you were off, he said that people misconstrue the meekness of God and of Jesus, pardon me. And he said, you know, meek actually means to be so strong that you're gentle. And so,
yeah.
You know, we miss that sometimes. But the love there, there's power there in the love, and we still have to correct. But the other part of that, too, is this shaking that's happening, George, that we've all been talking about, the rumblings are now. There's always a rumble before the shake. We're in the rumbles now. So that's where we're at. Man, we're out of time already this morning. It feels like we didn't even get started, but, you know.
That's how it always is, brother.
We'll have to do this again, man. I love that you took time out to bring us some wonderful perspective and kingdom perspective at that, and we're very excited for what the Lord is doing. And we're always pointing people back to Worthy News and Worthy.watch and all the things that the Lord is calling you to do and you and your wife's ministry.
Hey, thank you.
We're grateful for you, man.
Thank you, my brother.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
All right.
God bless you.
Yeah. Well, that's George Whitten, founder of Worthy News. We had him on for an extended period of time, but still didn't feel like we got to all of it. And Jason came in here to hang out with us, and
That was a good word.
He was over there taking notes. He didn't get to really talk.
I was going to make a few comments, but I thought, you know what? This is so good. I'm just listening.
Well, with George you know, and Dr. McMurtry, there's not many opportunities.
Well, you know, when Brother Whitten was here a few weeks ago at the Wednesday night service.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to listen. I was doing the youth.
Yeah.
So
you held him after. I saw you.
Yeah. We met for about an hour afterwards, and so it was good to be able to catch up and listen to his perspective on things.
Well, we'll get George some more. Anytime you get the opportunity, go to worthynews.com. There's a place there where you can get subscribed to the newsletter and get his devotional that he does. It's always very powerful. We're grateful for his perspective and for his input here on Voice in the Kingdom this morning. Both trivia questions got answered. Mary Vincent got the first one. Samuel invited Saul to a meal to reveal all that is in thine heart and to anoint him. Saul's response, though, was, you know, my family's the least of the families of the tribe of Benjamin, which was the smallest tribe in Israel. That's in 1 Samuel 9:18-21. Mary Vincent got that one right. Miss Jerry Condor got the second one. The gospel that recounts the prodigal son is in Luke. Thank you, Miss Jerry. And those two names are in the drawing, and that drawing will be this Friday for that prize pack that'll include the Power Bible on USB. We're out of time this morning. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Don't forget to put on your calendar for September 6th, the Rough River Youth Ranch Trail Ride. It's a great fundraiser fellowship opportunity for the Rough River Youth Ranch right here on campus at Bethel Fellowship. Coming up after us, Jesus is Lord with Renee Arterburn, and at 9:30 a.m. it's Spirit of Life Ministry with Brother Daryl Robbins. Don't forget to find us on the Box 2 Radio Network Facebook page and the Voice in the Kingdom Facebook page as well. Download that Box 2 Radio app. Thanks so much for listening. This has been Voice in the Kingdom.